Hi guys, another weekly update. Obviously, I am continuing to do these. They seem to be resonating quite well, which is really good. They're not too much hard work for me either. I basically set the camera up here. I put on a t-shirt, which is often overdressing for this sunny climate, but be that as it may. And I sit here and I talk about a few notes I made during the week. So look, it's an easy thing for me. I'm glad it's working well, so I'll keep doing them. So just a couple of things this week. It wasn't an overly busy week for me in terms of externally facing material I created, mostly because I was busy recording and editing a course. And I'm going to talk to you about this course when it goes live, which will probably be during this month. It's a freebie, which will be available for everyone, which is the good news. On other courses, the Pluralsight one I mentioned, I think, last week in my weekly update, the one about sort of fundamental information security things, the big picture course. I discovered last week it is rating the highest of any course I've ever done, which I'm really, really happy about. So Pluralsight has this little rating thing where after you watch it, you can give it stars, 1 through 5. And I'm trending at 4.9 at the moment, which is about as close to perfect as I could hope without actually being there. So that's really awesome. I'm really happy about that. Awesome feedback coming from that course. So I'm going to link to that one again as well, because it is really good material as you start to wind down the year to get anybody, regardless of how technical they are, watching it. It is made for the masses, which is cool. So there's that one. Now, getting on to things that I have written. What did I do this week? So the first one is, I am recording this today, which is the 2nd of December, my time. The 4th of December is Have I Been Pwned's birthday. Third birthday. And I have never really sort of done a birthday thing with Have I Been Pwned, but you know, look, this has been a bit of a crazy year. I was doing a podcast earlier today, and the guy interviewing me was asking about it, and I said, look, it's a funny thing. I've got this talk I'm doing at the moment about lessons from billions of breached records, because there's nearly 2 billion records in Have I Been Pwned. I originally created that talk in January this year, and it was called Lessons from 220 Million Breached Records. So that's kind of a crazy increase in data, and it's been sort of crazy on all sorts of levels. Just today, actually, just this morning, I noticed that the UK cybercrime arm of the government has actually referenced it as a resource for people to go and look at. This was in the wake of the National Lottery in the UK having some security things go wrong. So it's really nice to actually see a government department go, you know, hey, go and use this site. And I think it probably speaks to how important it is to try and run these things with integrity and openness and all the rest of it, because if you want the likes of the government pointing to your things, you got to kind of tick those boxes. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run an Ask Me Anything, not quite a Reddit-style text-based one, but I'm going to do a screencast. And I'm going to do this next week. I'm going to do it early Tuesday morning, my time, because that works the best for the rest of the world. So I'm going to do it at 6 a.m. here for me on the Gold Coast. That's going to be, I think from memory, like 8 p.m. Monday the 5th in the UK, and earlier in the day, depending on where you are in the US as well. So what I've asked people to do is just drop in some questions that they might have into the comment section of that blog post, which I'll link to in the show notes of this video. And what I'd like them to do is obviously drop those in advance, but come along and join it as well. So I'm sort of giving this a go with YouTube Live. I've done some dry runs, which have shown me that my bandwidth sucks, which is not something that I really needed anyone else to tell me. So I'm probably going to run it off 4G, I think, off my phone, because I just can't get good bandwidth in Australia. So anyway, I'm going to run that. I'd really like people to sort of drop in and ask questions. I've left a couple of hours. I'll just keep talking until people run out of interest or we run out of questions or whatever it is. And it is an Ask Me Anything. It is not an I Will Tell You Anything. There are certain things I can't say, but I'll certainly tell everyone as much as I possibly can. I'm happy for people to ask whatever questions they like. So that is that's cool. That is going to happen on Monday next week for the most of the world. So we'll do that, and you know, go and drop your questions in advance. Go and join in. I've also said in the blog post that I wrote about doing this AMA that I'm going to make a whole bunch of data available. And I don't want to go into it in too much detail here because I want to leave it as a little bit of a surprise, but I have collated a rather vast amount of material which has been de-identified and I will make available to people to do all the sorts of analysis that I keep getting asked about because people want data to hopefully do good things. I'm going to make sure that there's nothing bad they can do with the data. So that is that one. Now, still on the topic of have I been pwned, I wrote another blog post this week around, what did I call this one? Brief lessons on handling huge traffic spikes, which is a kind of self-explanatory title. And it was sort of funny the way this happened, where I got an email last week from this Money Matters show in the UK. And the producer says, hey, you know, just to let you know, we're going to mention Have I Been Pwned on the show. We have a habit of crashing websites, you know, so I thought I'd give you a heads up, which was very nice. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. I get a lot of people say there's going to be a lot of traffic come, and then I just see like this tiny little blip on the radar, and that's it. They had a lot of traffic, and what was interesting about this is it's not that it was a lot of traffic over a sort of a prolonged period. There's just this, like I look at my graphs and it's like steady, massive spike and then it comes back down. And what actually happened is I doubled my capacity, which I thought, okay, it's not a lot, but you know, it's still double, right? Like I'll absorb a lot more traffic. I did that and then I started seeing a few referrals come through from their site, like dozens of referrals. And I'm kind of going, okay, well, that was pretty much what I expected. And then I went and started sitting outside and having a coffee. And someone's like, oh, your site just got mentioned. And then other people are like, your site's down. And I've looked at my live Google Analytics, which I have running there. And before I got my coffee, it was 200 simultaneous users. And then by the time I sat down, had my first sip, and then got back to the computer, it was 12,000. So I went from 200 to 12,000 in less than 60 seconds. Now, yeah, 12,000 on its own is fine. I can deal with that all day long. The problem was just this ridiculous rate of growth. And it actually makes for some really interesting challenges. I'm glad this has happened. I did lose some traffic, but I'm glad this has happened because it gives you a chance to sort of reflect on how these things work. And the conclusions that I'm drawing in this blog post is that things like AutoScale and Azure are fantastic, where they can look at how your infrastructure is responding to demand and then say, for example, well, your CPUs get no work out, we'll add another instance, you know, or another two or another three or whatever you need. And this is awesome if you have the time to observe behaviors in your infrastructure and then react to them before they get to the point where you're just flooded with traffic. And the problem is that it takes some number of minutes to observe something and determine that it's a trend and it's not just like someone's just sort of fired up a bot and gone a little bit crazy. And it also takes some time to add the infrastructure. So when you scale out on Azure, so out being you add more infrastructure as opposed to being up, which is you add bigger infrastructure, when you scale out, it takes a couple of minutes. So all told, by virtue of the fact of me getting early notification, I could manually scale that infrastructure out. And I lost, I think it was about 4 minutes there where some traffic got lost, not all of it, but some. And in my sort of, I guess, debrief, where I've gone through and I've looked at all the data, I've sort of gone, well, I've got Cloudflare absorbing a whole lot of it. So that caches a whole bunch of things. That took about 76% of traffic off my origin. So in other words, it could have been four times worse. So this is like one of the first things. This is one of the most important things. Make sure you have something like Cloudflare sitting in front, even if it's not for the security things, it's for the buffer so that they can serve cached requests. So that was really important. I've made a few other observations in there. Things like, look, I use CDNs to serve all of my jQuery libraries and Bootstrap libraries and public things like that, because it means I don't have to. So whilst my server was not serving that stuff, it was doing other stuff. So that was quite handy. There's a few comments in there, some interesting comments from people. around things like serverless infrastructure. So we're sort of going through this, I guess, maturity process where we've gotten cloud, and cloud has been sort of provision as much as you want, commoditized pricing, you pay for it, it's elastic, you can keep expanding and contracting it, which is awesome. But for stuff like Azure App Service, you can't escape the fact that there are still machines underneath, okay? And that, yes, they're logical machines, which then obviously run on physical machines, but they're logical machines insofar as you have so much CPU and so much RAM. And at some point, you will exceed that. And you may grow so quickly that you exceed it before you have the chance, either by sort of human observation or by rules, to add more of it. So our sort of traditional cloud infrastructure is really not very good at responding to these massive sudden increases. And there will always be someone who says, yes, but if you had have used this framework or that flavor or whatever the thing is that's popular today, this wouldn't have happened. But it would. And it would so long as it's sitting on physically constrained infrastructure. It's just a question then of scale. Maybe if things were different, I could have gotten 50% more scale or 100% more scale, and then it would have had the same problem. So I guess the broader picture here that I'm interested in now is how we scale with no boundaries on capacity, at least no boundaries within sort of your subscriber capacity. Obviously, if someone DDoSes you big enough, you might take down all of, you know, Microsoft's West US data center. It'd probably be a big DDoS, technically possible. The point is that when we go serverless, and now we're talking stuff like Azure Functions, is that you're just paying for the little units of compute power. And you're not sort of running on your own box, which can fit X number of units, and then you run out and you've got to add another box. You're just paying for individual units, and they just keep scaling and scaling and scaling. So just today, I noticed that Azure has now got some tooling within Visual Studio for Functions. I have written about Functions before. I've used them to very, very good effect to keep nasty traffic off my website. So I'm going to be taking another look at that and trying to see when this happens again, because sooner or later it will happen again, how can I make sure that I have no outage? Because I don't want to have outage. Anyway, look, there are a whole bunch of ins and outs on this of, you know, I could have added more capacity, but then this would have happened and so on. So have a read of the blog post there. Now, another thing, this is a bit delicate. Recently, I've been writing about data published publicly on websites which wasn't meant to be there. So the Red Cross had their data published publicly, and then Michael Page, the global recruitment company, had their data published publicly. For them, it was by Capgemini, the massive consulting firm. And, you know, this wasn't very good. It was a lot of people's email addresses and a lot of people's sort of contact data. In the Red Cross's instance, it was also blood types and even if you'd had at-risk sexual activity. So that was really a bit of a worry. Now, in both those cases, once I got in touch with the organization, like literally minutes, hours at most, passed before the stuff was locked down. A couple of days ago, someone sent me a link to another similar sort of scenario, except this time it's pathology reports. So it is medical tests. And there are over 43,000 of these medical tests publicly facing. Now, these are PDF documents and RAR files. I haven't looked at what's in the RAR files. I haven't downloaded them. I think we could take a pretty good guess when we're talking about a pathology lab with patient data. Now, the problem is very similar to the other two cases, to Red Cross and Michael Page, in that you've got directory listing enabled, whole bunch of files in there, someone's obviously stumbled across it. It's worse than those two insofar as Google has indexed it all. So you can literally search for this stuff on Google and find the data. And the reason I've got a fairly good idea of what's in there is because when you do a search on Google and you just do an in URL that filters it down to the path that the data is, it gives you abstracts in the list of results. And you can see the ages of people, the names. You can see what sort of tests they were. I'll give you an example. I'm looking at a draft blog post I have here. HIV viral load report. Hundreds of results of HIV tests for patients. So this is really serious data. And someone sent this over and I went, all right, look, I've got to get in touch with them. You know, this is the stuff that's got to be locked down. It's not going to be pleasant because not only do they need to remove the files from the system, but they need to remove the data from Google Cache as well. So I've begun looking into it, and it's a Mumbai-based pathology lab. Now, this is Mumbai in India. And when I went to their website and I found some email addresses, I sent some emails, they bounced back. The Whois contact data bounced back. The contact us form they had on their page, it submitted, but then I didn't hear anything. And then you have a look around on the website and it's copyright 2011. They've got a freaking marquee tag on the website and a hit counter. And the hit counter is even broken. So you start to get this sense that maybe it's not a particularly well-loved website. So anyway, I'm not getting any responses. And I put some tweets out yesterday saying, look, if I've got any contacts in Mumbai, can you get in touch with me? And I had a bunch of people reach out. I picked a couple who looked like they were probably the best equipped to help get this organization notified, one of them in particular being a journalist. And I'll give you a little quote that he's given me, because this guy's got in touch with the organization. And they've said, basically, don't worry about it. We are moving to a new domain in January and retiring the existing website, so these problems will be fixed in January. As in, like, at least a month from now. And it's just... this is going to be interesting when I write it up, because India is at a different stage to, say, Australia or the UK or the US. You know, they've got a lot of big issues that they're dealing with in their country. Privacy is not such a big issue as what it is for us. There is a much greater tolerance for this sort of information being exposed or being readily accessible. What makes this one particularly interesting, and the penny only dropped after I'd started having the discussion with this journalist, is that the server is actually based in the US. It's in Utah. So you've got this Indian pathology lab storing test results for local citizens in a foreign web server, or a web server in a foreign country, which has then had everything public and it's been indexed by the largest search engine in the world. That's a real mess. I wanted to give a little bit of detail here because I'm probably going to tweet out later on and let some folks know who may be in India that this is going on. I'm really concerned that the pathology lab involved so far seems to basically not give a shit, which... if it was my data in there, I'd be pretty upset about this. Now, I'm not sure what sort of local legislation there is in India to compel these guys to clean it up. I'm not sure if the fact that it's based in the US may actually make it a bit easier to get in touch with the hosting provider and say, hey, you know, you might want to pull the plug or something similar. But I'm going to give that a little bit of a push this afternoon. Obviously, I'm not saying who it is. I'm not giving enough information for people to be able to find that data, because although... they don't seem to care about it being publicly exposed, I don't want to be the guy that's distributing information about people's HIV tests. Among other things, there's stuff like Down syndrome tests and all sorts of things in there. There are children in the test results. It's just an absolute mess. So hopefully by the time I do my next weekly update, I'll be able to tell you who it is and give you some more detail about it. I'll write about it, but I do want it to be cleaned up, not just on the website itself, but out of Google Cache before I share more information. All right, so that's a mess. Let's go on to some more positive stuff. I've noticed you'll see over my right shoulder, I've got boxes. They are, in fact, one of them, that one just there, is a brand new Linksys WRT-1900ACS, which is on eBay at the moment. It's going back. I mentioned this a little while ago. I have put Ubiquiti stuff throughout my entire home. I've got 5 Ubiquiti wireless access points, a couple of switches, a unified security gateway, a cloud key. It is awesome stuff. A lot of people seem to have gotten into trouble with their significant others since I wrote that post. I did not expect this to get anywhere near the attention it has. But so many people have now gone out and bought Ubiquiti gear and their lives are so much better. And I'm not incentivized in any way by Ubiquiti to say this, but the gear has just been awesome. And I've actually found that as I've sold my old Linksys router, so one that had been used, it was a year old, I'm selling this one, which is brand new in the pack, because they sent that as a replacement to another one, which was just continually dropping connection speeds. I'm going to cover a fairly reasonable portion of the Unify or Ubiquity bits anyway, just by selling things on eBay. So I'm pretty happy about that. That's win-win. All right, final things. I'm off to DDD in Brisbane tomorrow, so a nice little local event there for me. And then I'm going to be in Europe in January and Feb for NDC in London, some things in Belgium, some things in Copenhagen. I am looking at doing another visit in April. So I actually had four workshops I had to say no to for this trip just because I was already at 3 weeks. It's just getting too long. And it is really nice here at this time of year. So if there's anyone listening that wants me to come and say good day and spend a couple of days in April, please let me know. And if I can build a critical mass, then I'll book stuff. And that will be sort of a couple of months since the previous trip, which I find is a pretty good gap for me. Last thing, the sponsor on my blog this week is Terbium Labs. They do some dark web intelligence stuff. I'm really happy to have those guys on board. That's very well aligned with what I do in terms of have I been pwned and some of the insights from there. Those guys will be on all this week. I have now booked out every single sponsor slot until almost April as well. So I'm really, really happy. I am actually going to go and permanently delete all the old ad code that I had on the blog as well. So we'll never be seeing ads there again, not in that traditional track you, watch all your things and give you flashy, crappy iframe stuff again. So they will be gone permanently, which is really good news. So thanks for watching. I hope everyone is still enjoying these. I know that they're getting a little bit longer as I embellish a little bit more. Tell me if you'd like them shorter or longer or any other feedback that you have. Thanks very much, guys.